yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
The infamous Chicken Hawk, Mac 10.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This your boy, C. Murray, and I'm chilling with my boy, Scott Bader.
What's up? This is DLC.
This Young Castro from the Outlaws.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy, Al Capone.
This is your boy, Psycho Nip.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 365.
Young Busy Bomb.
Vice Womp.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross.
It's MC Mac for Life, Don the Boss, Supreme Bean, KKZ.
Yo, what up? This is DJ Quick.
Yo, what's poppin'? It's the Kid K, AK.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yeah, check this out. This is Fresh Blood at the China Man with the 2-Live Group.
Yo, what up, y'all? Yo, Scott Bader, what up, baby? It's your boy, Sheik, who's hollering at you, man?
This is Jesse Ventura, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show.
Trying to hit you with a heater in the middle with a chest plate cavity. Your hoes trying to lose your soul. King of this motherfucking underground rap shit coming out of Fort Worth, Texas. And every day I gotta eat a big bowl of whack, mumbling rappers up for breakfast. Rainy top cone so pure, and it really be dumper than a whole fucking lot of grams. A lot of these hoes be faked in the bitch, and I see right through them like a motherfucking hologram. And if you want it, I can make a motherfucking back of your throat meet a pistol grip. And I can really get a hater hog tied up, wrap them up like a motherfucking Christmas tree.
From episode 1000. We're definitely looking forward to that. Tonight we got a double episode. I'm really honored to do this because, man, we're going to be interviewing, you know, the daughter of a legend, who's a legend in the making herself, followed by her father, you know what I'm saying, someone we've had on the show many times, legendary Cocaine. But before we chop it up with him, we're going to welcome to the show for the first time, Anisa Long. Anisa, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How's everyone doing?
Oh, man, we're doing wonderful. It's a huge honor to have you on the show because we always look forward to chopping it up with a family of artists, you know what I'm saying, that we've been friends with over the years. And you're third
yes.
generation. Your grandfather was
yes,
a
I am third generation
pioneer.
With the music.
Yeah.
So it's just flowing through me.
Grew up
you
with
know?
It. Yeah, in your blood, I mean, you know, definitely. What was it like growing up in such a musical household?
What I could say is from a young age, I always remember, like, just always being surrounded by music, like, even being, like, I can remember a time when I was, like, 4 or 5, and my dad had me hop in the studio and sing, and I wasn't afraid to sing in front of anybody, but it was, like, a bunch of people in the studio, and I was just singing, like, you know, yes, Jesus loves me and things like that. So it's always been cool, like, just to know that my dad's a part of, like, history when it comes to music and look back at things and to know certain information other people may not know, you know, because you got the direct source right there. So it's been great. Even now, you know, I'm so heavily involved in the music. So it's just, for me, it's always just been a part of me. Like, I started writing when I was 11, actual, like, deep music and songs and poetry. So just always, my dad always had me around in the studio or with him. I just have memories of that, so.
So you definitely, I mean, hands-on experience right out the gate. When was the first time you laid down a recording?
First time I actually recorded a song, I believe I was like 13. I was recording, I have a few songs from when I was 13. I recorded a song that I wrote actually myself called Family. So I was probably like 12, I believe, when I first actually recorded a song. So,
wow.
Pretty young.
Wow.
So it's like that's the
that
vibe.
Experience.
That's where I felt most at peace. Mm-hmm.
And your father, you know, when he started taking you to the studio and stuff like that, when did you get on one of his songs?
First time I got on his song, I was pretty young, too. We have a song, What It's Like to Be Me, and I recorded that, I believe. I was 14 when I started hopping on his stuff and doing little, like, mini vocals in the background and stuff for him. But just wanted to warm me up, you know, soft me up to some things.
Wow. Now, would he take you to do shows and perform at that young of an age?
The youngest I performed at a show was actually out in Seattle, and I was fairly young. I want to say I was like 13, 14, my first time performing, and then took a little break from that because, of course, you know, I'm in school and stuff, so I can't be doing too much. But, yeah, the first time I performed, I was like probably 14.
Wow. Wow. Now, what's it like, you know what I'm saying, to go into his world, you know, the world of G-Funk with all these legendary West Coast artists? I mean, he comes from, you know, the Eazy-E family tree. What's that like?
Yeah. He was one of the first artists signed to Eazy-E. So that, for me, is so dope because you see people talk about these people and these legends, you know, like Eazy-E and Tupac, and just to know my dad was actually – around them, friends with them, you know, that's really cool. And Easy even looked, you know, at my brothers because I wasn't quite, you know, born yet. But, you know, he looked at my brothers and called them nephews and even was really cool with my mom, you know. So he really, like, loved my family as a whole. So that's really dope to get into my dad's world. And I've met quite a few people. Like, I've met, you know, E-40. I've met Snoop Dogg. I've met, you know, Too Short. I've met quite a few people too in the industry, and I think I've kind of just got used to just, like, you know, being around. And I don't ever do too much or not never too starstruck because I feel like I'm just used to it. I've grown up in it, like, you know, meeting people, and just my dad himself, he's a legend, so that's just impressive itself to be around him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Have you met any Eazy's kids?
Any who? I'm sorry.
Any of Eazy's kids?
I've met his son. Yeah, and I've actually spoke with his daughter. So that was, you know, that would be really, actually really cool to get inclined with them, like Lil Eazy and stuff, and kind of get some music mixed up and bring the third generation out. That would be really dope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I could see some collaborations in the future right there for sure. Now, when you come out, you know, just like I imagine when your dad first started, was there, you know, any pressure him living up to his father? You know, did people look at you in that light as well? Like, is there any pressure to try to fill your dad's shoes, so to speak?
I feel like it kind of is pressure, but then it's kind of not because it's like if I wanted to, I feel like people do look at me in a certain standard, like they'll be like, oh, well, your dad is this. So they kind of like expect certain things of me, but it's like my parents as a whole, like they wouldn't care if I wanted to go be a nurse or, you know, be something else and didn't want to get into music. So I don't feel too much pressure. You know, it's whatever God has planned for me. Is what's going to, you know, the path I'm going to choose. Music is something I happen to love, and it's something I happen to be really good at, especially when it comes to writing and stuff like that. So it's a skill I would love to share with the world. I don't ever feel too pressure. I don't feel like I have to hold, you know, this type of torch and, you know, just follow in the footsteps, but I do it because it's something that I love and I love to do. So I just definitely want to make, like, you know, of course, my dad is who he is, but he always wants me to have my individuality as well and be who I am as an artist and spread my wings. So it's all in God's plan, and everything's going to happen when the time is perfectly right and set. So that's, I don't feel too much pressure.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way of thinking about it, too, because, you know, you're creating your own legacy, you know what I'm saying, and at the same time upholding the long legacy, you know,
yes.
Three generations. You know, because
my grandfather,
you
know, he
thing.
Was writing for Motown, so we represent him as well. I'm trying to represent him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, he did a lot of stuff. He was behind a lot of hits, and sadly,
yes,
he doesn't get the credit he deserves. You know,
no,
I saw your dad posting about that, and that's such a shame.
It really is a shame, and I feel like it's just so many lost artists, like really talented people that contributed so much to music that kind of get lost in the wave, you know, and for me, that would be extremely amazing, and for me to come out and to represent him and to for him to get the credit he deserves, because he deserves it. He put in a lot of work, and he made some life-changing songs and produced and conducted a lot of great music. So I think he needs to get his flowers, as everyone else that, you know, put in the work. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're gonna go to a song called Karma Can Be that you got out with a video right now. I want everybody to go check that out, please. Make sure to support it. Then we're going to come back, chop it up a little bit more, and I'm going to give you the floor so you could, you know what I'm saying, tell everybody what they need to do, where they need to go, any shout-outs and all that. But this is Karma
Perfect.
Can Be. Now, is this from an album, or is this just a single right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, so
or?
This is going to be from my upcoming album. This is one of the singles from there. So it's a beautiful song. I wrote it and everything like that. So I just hope you guys enjoy. Yes, it's called Karma Can Be. I'll get into a little more detail. You can ask me questions about it after, but I hope you guys enjoy.
All right. We'll be right back with Nisa Long. Don't go nowhere.
Private time.
There we have it. Karma can be a bitch, but so can I. Very, very catchy tune. No auto-tune needed. You know what I'm saying? Anisha Long, super, super talented. You got an amazing voice.
Thank you so much.
You know, that that right there, that's the type of song that could really catch fire and you know, sell a lot of units. Have you, what kind of feedback have you been getting from that?
Oh, my gosh. So I had posted it on TikTok, and I was getting some really good, I have over 300 comments, but they're all really positive comments. They've been feeling it. I just feel like what I'm trying to do now is I got this little TikTok little challenge I'm trying to get going, or little, you know, kind of viral thing I'm trying to get going with it that I want to do with it. So I got some plans for it, because I know with a little push, this song is definitely a really beautiful song. Like, it can make, you know, you feel better about your day if you're going through it. And I feel like I've kind of touched on some relatable topics. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and plus, if you look at the music nowadays, the dope R&B is not there like it should be. You know, this is something that could definitely bring it back. And when's the album dropping, Anisha?
So I'm trying to get it going in the summer. We're working on a few things now, so I don't have an official date. But in the summer, I'm trying to get this going because I feel like the vibe of it is very summer like, and I feel it would be only good, you know, great to drop it in the summer, because I got a whole different type of vibes in it. Everything sounds different. It's not going to be like you're going to listen to the album and everything sounds the same. I feel like a lot of things these days, not to be hating off of anything, but it's very repetitive. It sounds like you're listening to the same song over and over. I like to change my cadence and sound and the way I sing and all types of stuff. So I'm trying to bring, like, different vibes, and I'm also trying to get going on different genres of music because, you know, I'm into all kinds of genres, so I really want to get into, like, you know, the rock. I wrote a country song, and it's actually very beautiful, and I would like to actually go get that recorded soon because I'm trying to get into all the genres and, yeah, see what I could do. You know, I feel like I want to bring back, you know, I write all my own music. I don't have no writers. I don't play like that, so it's all going to come from me. Yeah,
all talent, and I mean that you're going to be doing these different genres too. That's always a positive thing. Now, what about rapping?
Yes,
you got skills on the mic too.
Rapping,
as far as the MC?
Yes, I have quite a few freestyles that I'm gonna start uploading on TikTok every Friday, the Freestyle Friday. But I'm definitely into the rapping. I don't consider myself a rapper. That's just not how, you know, like I came out. I just consider myself an artist. Like I want to do everything. And I don't feel like there should be any issue with that. If I can do it, I'm going to do it, you know? So I'm pretty good when it comes to the writing. And, I think nowadays I really got my flow down pat, you know, cause it took some time. You got to get the flow. You can't just have the lyrics, and I always have the lyrics, but I feel like now everything's coming together. So definitely with the rapping, all that.
I tell you what, you got a real bright future ahead of you, and I look forward to a lot of big things. And I thank you for taking time out to talk with us tonight, Anisha. And before we let you go, I want to give you the floor because I want you to let everybody know what they need to know, where they need to go, and any shout-outs. It's all yours, Anisha.
Yes. All right. So if you guys want to tap into my music, y'all was feeling that song y'all just heard, you can follow me on my IG and my TikTok. For all my platforms are pretty much named Anisha _ Long, and my name is spelled A-A-N-I-S-A-H _ Long, L-O-N-G. And you can find me on all platforms. Look me up on my YouTube, Anisha Long. Find me on my TikToks, you know, my Instagrams, whatever you guys want to do to tap in. Also, that Karma Can Be is out now on all platforms. So if you got Apple Music, Spotify, wherever your choice is, you guys can find that song now. And shout out to my dad. My pops, he's coming on soon. So shout out to him. Shout out to my family, my mama. And shout out to all my supporters, people that support me. I appreciate you guys, the compliments, you as well. Like, thank you so much, because that drives me harder, you know, that, you know, I can, I could do this, and I really do got the talent and skill to back it up. So I appreciate all the support. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I look forward to talking with you again in the future. You take care of yourself.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much.
Now, welcome back to the Murder Master Music Show. It's your boy, Prez. We just chopped it up with Anissa Long. Hell of an interview with her. Make sure to go support her single, Karma Can Be. You know what I'm saying? Download it. Go check out the video. And our next guest is somebody that she knows very well. This talent definitely runs in the family. Three generations, you know, from Jerry Long Sr. to Jerry Long himself. One and only Cocaine Man. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what up, brother? Thanks for having me back on.
Man, always, always an honor. You know what I'm saying? You got a trilogy album out right now. You know what I'm saying? Man, it's just crazy. Tell everybody about this, man. The Funk Adventures of Dr. Cokenstein.
Well, this particular project, man, I wanted to do something special for the fans that have been rocking with me for over three decades. And I wanted to go back to that authentic sound with live instrumentation, music with substance, storytelling. So with this particular project, I wanted for people, for fans, to have more of an experience. Because I put out records left and right, but this one, I kind of took my time to make sure the audience is really taking on an adventure and a journey. So that's why I named it The Funkin' Adventures of Dr. Cokenstein, three-album trilogy, which is over 30 songs. So it's actually almost four songs, but we squeezed it down into three songs. And it's an incredible record, man. It's taking them back in the past from the 70s and 80s and bringing them back to the future with the 2024 twist. And we got, you know, of course, my daughter on the project. She's unbelievable, blossoming to the artist that she has, that she is. And also we got comrades like Ice Cube, Corrupt, just a culmination. I don't want to let too much out the bag, but just a combination of funk, soul, hip-hop, R&B, gangster funk, gangster rap, reality rap, classical, and rock and roll. That makes the Funk Adventures of Dr. Cokenstein.
So it's just like a big pot of musical gumbo.
Yes, sir. That's what I've been saying. A lot of interviewers have been saying, man, this is so different because, you know, I've always prided myself on being different, and I believe any artist out there that is different, it just means your uniqueness is not redundant to anybody else. And, you know, people have been rocking with the funk. People have been rocking with soul music and songs that not only can get them up, but also move their spirit. We got songs like Hey You, which was heavily inspired by Pink Floyd. And that was produced, and the interpolation was redone over by my guy, Cuddy Dre, who's also a buddy boy, in-house producer, as well as the artist. And, that song is really touching on things that are happening in society with the homelessness and things after the COVID virus, like whole families lost businesses in the streets. So I think it was a perfect opportunity to raise that type of awareness, along with so many that, you know, unsung heroes that raised that particular awareness, because it's not getting better, it's getting 10 times worser. And if we don't go back to those 70s times and 80s music and 90s where we had a chance to talk about it and really use it as something revolutionary, you know, we'll stay just in the redundant creature of habit stage. So as an icon in the game, you know, it's not about the materialistic thing. It's about really using that music that can be instrumental and a cornerstone piece, because you can't do everything. But everybody can play their position. And that's what we did with this particular song called Hey You. You know, it's really hitting home. And also we can mix it up with doing even electronic music, kind of like this car. I got a song called Rabbit Hole, on there as well. You see cats like Ant Banks and Colt 187. And for the first time I ever did a song with Rhythm D from Ruthless Records and Weak Ruthless Alumni. So it's just different. Hit different, man. It's gonna really funk your head up when you just get on the highway and you're tipping or you're in the comforts of your home. Play that Dr. Kokerstein. It's truly going to take you on an adventure.
Absolutely. And you've been globetrotting. You've been going everywhere. Like, you put out a full campaign to promote this, just like a fucking Universal or Jive or Sony or whatever would do, you know what I'm saying, with the artists. But you're doing it yourself independently, man. So salute to you on that. Where are some of the spots you went to? I know. I saw you on you did an interview with Too Short. What else you been doing? Gangsta Chronicles, I think.
Yeah, just my comrades, man. You know, it's nothing like having 25, 30 plus years of relationships. You know, business relationships, and it's a blessing for them to open up their resources. I'm very grateful. You know, visited Too Short. He has that Don't Stop Rapping show, you know, Rock the Bells exclusive, Corey Holkin, Gangsta Chronicles, Smoke Law Radio. I've just been on the move, you know, more so than Republicans and Democrats, but I'm an independent. And that's the way I carry my campaign. You got to get up there and beat up the concrete. You know what I'm saying? Things is cool from sitting at the home because I can make money. I can make dollars just sitting at your home. But no, we come from the era where you got to see people, shake hands, kiss babies, you know, on the forehead. And tell people, man, thank you. I appreciate you. See, that's what the fans want to do, and we're getting back to that. Because in order to get the 3 album, you got to go specifically to my site. You're not going to find this rare album anywhere else but at www.buddyboymusic.com. And, yeah, let me play the devil's advocate. I do use the social streaming effery for a reason. But instead of dangling a meat over my head, taking all my hard-earned work and money for my full-length albums, I just put out singles. So that way it can spread abroad and then bring it back to my mecca, which is my buddyboys.com site. So things like that is working because – you know, I'm on all kind of platinum records. I got plaques and everything and all that stuff. But we as a culture, with all our ancestors who ever been through it with corporate greed, not all corporate, but a lot of those entities basically F to artists. And what an awesome time it is to take this autonomy after hearing, you know, Prince dropping some jewels about Napster. He was pre-warning us. Michael saying this thing. But those people sacrificing, same thing with Easy, they sacrifice for us to go ahead and really bank off the fruits that we labor for now. So it's a perfect time with the independence, and that's a good thing, man, because I put out a project for a lot of years, and I didn't even break even. But I'm glad we had enough sense over here at Buddy Boy Entertainment to go ahead and say, step back. Get out of the rat race. You know, once you get out of that rat race, then you're going to start seeing things clearly. And that's just what we did. So the power of direct marketing is just hitting home, man. And, you know, it's paying for itself.
Yeah, I agree 100%. The last compilation I dropped, I did a CD only. You know, I was like, enough of the streaming sites and those distribution outlets, you know what I'm saying? They just, like you said, man, they're not doing the artists the justice that they deserve. Only you can do that for yourself. And I definitely feel that. Speaking of another injustice, I saw you post a while back about your dad not getting some of the credit that he deserves. I know you guys are fighting to change that. How is that going? Is there any developments as far as him getting some recognition?
Well, right now, I don't mean to not answer that question, but let me just say I got my main man, my manager on the line as well. His name is Fancy. Fancy right in the middle of us doing the infamous Murder Mass show as we speak. So I got him chimed in because, you know, we got some business to take care. But this is my guy at Murder Mass and vice versa, live on the air.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing real good, man. Welcome to the Murder Mass Music Show. How about yourself? How you doing?
I'm blessed, brother. I woke up this morning, man. I'm doing great.
That's what's up.
Sir. He's going to rock with us on this interview. So go ahead, finish what you're saying, brother. What was the question?
Yeah, basically just wondering about your dad. You know, he's achieved so many things and made a lot of hits over the years. But you know, he doesn't really get the credit that he deserves, you know. And I know you guys are fighting for that. You know, how is that going as far as, you know what I'm saying, getting him his recognition?
Well, it's going cool. Everything is from organic approach. I tend to, you know, keep the things in my mind and my heart, what that man meant to, you know, myself, my family, and how he was the unsung hero in a lot of classical records, man. Like his whole thing is just deep over there. So, you know, the universe allowed me to put it in his hand, in my hands, and move on it to be my own promise keeper. And it's been going swell because God is just bringing things my way, connecting the dots. And I know it's going to be told. It's going to be told correct. All was not lost because he is reincarnated to me and my children. And it's a beautiful time that it happened like that. Excuse me. It's a beautiful time that it happened like that because, you know, things change. Things modify. The good fellas that was in there doing it is getting older now. You know what I'm saying? So it's a perfect opportunity, and I thank the Most High, the universe, for really having the timing right now. And, you know, it's also pleasing to my family because the grandkids that is really, really inspired by the grandfather. And, you know, my primary thing was to leave not only a financial legacy to them, but also let them know what solid music royalty they come from. And it's good that we're doing our homework as a family, but it's also good that out of nowhere, man, you know, Most times it's really mobilizing some things so that story can be told properly from Jerry Buddy Long Sr., the great Jerry Buddy Long Sr. at Motown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, three generations of talent. Let's give them a taste of some of this talent right here. This is I Beg Your Pardon. And
yeah.
After we play this joint, I'm going to bring on the homie DJ Lord Sinister from France, the French Connection. He's got a couple questions to ask you. But before we do, tell us about I Beg Your Pardon, man. Kind of intro the song for us.
Oh, man, I'm a Prince fanatic. Prince was amazing. He was funky too, you know what I'm saying? There'll never be another Prince, but one of my favorite songs is Dorothy Parker. A lot of people is either hip to it or they ain't because they usually pick the Purple Rain. But that song does something to me. So I have an incredible musician, incredible play all kind of instruments. His name is Teddy J. He's also in-house Buddy Boy producer as well as an artist because he has some stuff coming out towards summer, I do with him. So I said, man, I need these exact sounds, exact tones, switch it up a little bit, and it's going to be a bomb-ass interpolation. And anytime I give him the my ideas of what I want, he has the equipment, the analog sound, 2-inch tape, all that. He can reproduce that, but mostly for an interpolation. And it's called I Beg Your Pardon. It's just basically saying, you know what I mean? In a very exquisite way, like the commercial. Do you happen to have any grateful punk? I beg your pardon. So it's a cliche of being blind, you know, a cliche of being, you know, an elder in the game and still being that I'm an elder in the game. This is the way you move business-wise. Just a new gangster, you know. I beg your pardon, but cocaine has been doing this longer than a lot of you gentlemen was in the game I even thought of. I beg your pardon. Cocaine is the most featured artist in the world. So media is starting to wake up to that and capitulate to what's going on. So it's really like telling, you know, in a fly way, really checking them, saying, okay, that's cool, but I beg your pardon. It's the legendary Cocaine, a.k.a. Dr. Cokenstein.
I feel that. I beg your pardon. The fucking adventures of Dr. Cokenstein, man. We're back here with cocaine. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that takes you on a whole different journey. You know, nobody sounds like you, brother. I mean, you got your own distinctive style, and you can't really put it in one box either. You know, like you said,
right.
You like to do rock and roll, and your daughter was telling me that she even wrote a country song. She's trying different genres herself. A real, real musical family, man. Nothing but the best to you guys. I'm going to bring on the homie DJ Lord Sinister from France, the French Connection, man. I know he's got a few questions about you, probably some of your classic songs. Sin, you there, brother?
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, sir. The French Connection. Hi, legendary.
Hey,
sir.
Hey, bonjour, Chris.
Bonjour. Bonsoir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Can you tell us about your father, who was a Motown composer, Jerry B. Long, and your mother was singer to you but your roots into music. Did your father had an influence for your soul and singing style, who is unique voice?
Did you get the influence?
What was the last part you said?
He wanted to know if they, the influence that they had on you growing up and everything.
Well, they had a major influence because I inherited, the gifts that they have. And growing up, as a little child, going to study on the running board would look like a spacecraft panel. I was always intrigued with the sounds, but I didn't understand it. And I would go back before that, prior to be born in New York. I was actually going to be born in France because they were out there at the time working. And my dad went to school out there in London and France. And next to Amadeus or some stuff out there, wherever it's at, I forget the cast, but I got the plaque. He's considered a musical genius. And my mother, in the late 60s, she was a singer as well. So from both sides, we come from a musical background. It's kind of like two planets colliding and becoming a supernova. So we didn't live in France because Pops had some work, and I was still in my mom's belly. They went to New York, and that's where I was, born, in New York. So I've always had a special connection with France and New York. But being that, Pops was always moving around and my mother was always moving around, we left New York at a real early, super early age. And, we traveled to Detroit. Eventually, I came to Los Angeles first. And then from Los Angeles, I was mainly raised in Pomona, California. And, I was always traveling with them, always hearing the music. And as a kid, all you're doing is just being a sponge of absorbing all that energy and musical gifts. And I've always been intrigued with singing. That was my forte, being a vocalist, also playing in a jazz band and being the first trumpet. That's where I learned a lot of my melodies and different other things like that by being in that jazz band at an early age. And then with the explosion or the beginnings of hip hop in the 70s, it was the best of both worlds. It was spunk, soul, singing. Even some of the real soulful heavy metal, along with the explosion of hip hop. And when I heard Rapper's Delight and those cats out there and Treacherous 3 and all those cats, it was the best of both worlds. So I took my career serious in 1984. That's when I started my career in 1984, singing and rapping. So going back to look at those times with my family and my mother, it was just embedded in my 23 chromosomes, but I was exposed to it. Most importantly, I think if you're exposed to it, it becomes second nature. And it became second nature that, more than ironically, that I would follow their same path.
Yeah. And you grew up in Bronx. You grew up in Bronx, the birthplace of hip hop. In fact, it's in the 70s. So
yeah,
you were very young at that time.
Yeah, I was very, very young, but I didn't know the lifestyle of the South Bronx. So you really didn't have who knew the characteristics of East Coast swag. But I look back and almost being born in France, coming to New York, South Bronx, going to Detroit for a little bit on the road with pops and moms, then going, making an exodus to L.A., and then really, you know, being raised out of that town called Pomona, California. I look back and that lets me know I was always going to be a traveling man, and I've always been proud of where I come from, my East Coast roots, the connection overseas, and also the connection between Detroit, L.A., and Pomona. So it's a beautiful thing, man, and now I stay up in Washington. So, you know, the way the world is, it fits good for me because the world is your oyster in the palm of your hand, your cell phone. You can reach out to the world. So I believe that my travels was always here to position me to really make music for the world as opposed to where something I come from.
Yeah, music for the world, it's your songs. What is mine? Your color version, yeah. Sugar free.
Yeah, absolutely.
Adult song.
And the world needs to realize hip-hop is a phenomenon worldwide. Celtic Soul is a hip-hop. It's a phenomenon worldwide. You know what I mean? And I want to be able to relate and identify from the ghettos that's in Africa, London, France, Australia, Korea, Japan. It doesn't matter where it is, because at the same time, we can all relate to us, to each other, to our music. And that's what music we put out there is to help build you up, raise your vibration, but most importantly, inspire you to really talk about some social injustices and everything else like that. So when it comes to cocaine, you know, that's what you're always going to be able to hear, something that is going to really inspire you. And I think the world needs to hear music nowadays to inspire them, because there's wars, there's different things going on with their own civilians in different countries. And we got to use this music instrumentally and help changing people's minds around. You feel me?
Yeah.
With all your accomplishments, when you did The Days Coming by the day on Funkin' Upon a Rhyme, mm-hmm. it was a meaningful your career, your destiny. Can you tell us about this song, My Day is Coming?
That was a special song. You know, I trip off the fact that I used to have songs like that, because that's how, you know, I was cut from my father, Jerry Long. He had songs like Smiling Faces, Just My Imagination. So it was always heartfelt song. And I think that's the most powerful song. So, you know, back when Pac used to come around us, he was kind of equally yoked to those type of songs. And me and Pac was good friends. That was my little bro. Met him in 1990 and seen him grow. And that song, that particular song that you named, that song is one of Pac's favorite songs besides No Pain, No Gain. And I remember I was playing that song prior to him. You know, prior to the unfortunate event that happened when he got murdered. But a week before, I was playing that song at his house on Sherman Oaks in the Valley, California. And I was on the piano, and he was just on the piano with me, like, sometimes I feel like my day is coming. Won't you free my mind? Free my mind. Free my mind. Yeah, 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 yeah. And it was just, it's a trip, because songs are powerful. You know, sometimes you can write a song and then years later, those exact words is what's happening years later. And that song was mostly to say, you know, it's a testimony. Nobody knows when their numbers is up. No one can just, you know, predict certain things. You just got to live your life to the fullest. And then you got to make amends for your actions and accountability. So I put that type of energy to that particular song, because at times we see the things that are going on in society, and we all feel like sometimes our day is coming.
Yeah, I do. You did also two dub songs with two true MCs of the West Coast, Sibo for the song Mob on the Communist Again, and also with MC8 with Welcome to Los Santos. Can I tell us about this too?
Well, that's my little bro. That's what we call out here, my vote. He's from the seaside, and I've always been cool with Sibo, and he's been cool with me. So we first linked in on the Mr. Kane project along with Too Short, Short Term Rob, and the other fellas. And it's just like, you know, we clicked instantly. And then over the years, we made some classic hits because, you know, it's easy to meet, you know, one of your favorite artists or someone's coming up. The most important thing is that you got to have chemistry. And me and Sibo always had chemistry. And he's even on my album because, you know, he's just, man, he's one of the coldest MCs ever. And when you hear the Dr. Klinkenstein, you hear the first intro, Big Boy from the Big Boy Show, TV. You hear them talking about cocaine as the sixth leader in the world. But then the second song that kick off on the Dr. Klinkenstein trilogy is Sibo and my artist named Baby Local, dude. More of the patois in Jamaica. And he's just incredible. And I'm always making records with him. I'm actually on this record that's about to come out pretty soon. And moving to the MC8 with Freddie Gibbs, that was a good experience before because I'm familiar with being on certain soundtracks prior to doing the Los Santos. And my boy DJ Pooh hit me up one day, him and Solo, and said, man, we need you come to get on this. So I went out there, you know, and did the collaboration with MCA, Freddie Gibbs. Oh No was on there, a nice producer, and DJ Alchemist, you know, I mean, and Alchemist, you know, the ones who produce. Yeah. For Mob Deep, which I have history with him as well, him and Prodigy. So they invited me on the project, and, you know, it did good, man. I didn't know it was going to make $1 billion in 24 hours. It was an incredible experience, and we did the VDX show and had a chance to get infused as far as what song I was on inside the video game. And you know, shout out to Rockstar, man. They did it big on there, and they did it smart because they paid us up a nice, healthy number. But I wish I would have said, well, let me get 2%. But, you know, it was a cool experience. And, you know, today, man, that video game is still kicking ass, man. BT, Grand Theft Auto 5. So I was happy to be on that project.
Yeah. You have a unique voice, and did you do featuring sometimes with other Arabic singer? I think about some of the one who have a deep voice was maybe you remember Mississippi. He did song with Sibo, did with Brother Lynch and Johnny P. Rest in Peace, who have you know, the voice of Arabic singer, real Arabic singer.
Say that again. I'm sorry, I didn't understand the last thing you said, my bad. Say it again.
Oh, I talk about the singer Mississippi. He did Money as a Town with a Sibo. You got D Dub who did song
he
with Brother Lynch. Yeah, Johnny.
Yeah, he collaborated with
Sibo.
And
I say you have few singers who got a rhythm and blues voice, you feel me? That
right.
Johnny P had on Do or Die.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Johnny P. Right. Yeah, that's another good singer right there.
Yeah, Johnny P is dope. Nate Dogg was dope. Who else? The one who sang Gangsta's Paradise. L. What's his name?
LV from Mad Circle.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a lot of stuff, you know. One thing that I was fortunate enough to do is mix it up with thousands of artists around the world. And music is basically recycled. And music is vibration and frequency and energy. And it's just an honor to be able to do so many songs, especially with the ones that might not be here in the physical, but they have gone in a different dimension in the spirit. You know, the Nipsey Hussles, your Mac Dre's, your Jake Dillon's, your KMT's, your Easy's, your Tupac's, your the Jacka. There's just so many incredible artists that, you know, I was able to influence them, and they were able to influence me, because that's what music is. It's recycled. It's for everybody. You only got 12 notes, you know. And, you know, it's tough to stay in this particular industry for a certain amount of years, because it's a brutal industry. It's backbiting, yeah. It's a lot of snakes, it's a lot of different other things like that. And I'm just fortunate to have a family, you know, to help me sustain what I'm doing years later, because that was a long journey over 35 years, and people don't even last 5 years. But I've always been in love with music and the arts before I even thought about money, and I think anybody that's able to sustain and stay around, that you got to love the music first before anything else comes.
100%. I just want to say one quick thing. LV was a member of South Central Cartel, not...
South Central Cartel. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. SCC, absolutely.
Yes. He did Gangsta's Paradise with Coolio. He did Gangsta's Paradise with Coolio. And Coolio was actually a member of the Mad Circle at
the time. Yeah. There you go.
I just want to throw that in there.
Rest in peace to Coolio. Another tragic loss right there.
Good friend of mine. Just wanted to throw that in there, you guys. My apologies.
No. I appreciate that, man. And Cocaine, I appreciate you as well as your daughter, you know, Anissa Long, for coming by to play Karma Can Be. Make sure you guys go out and pick that up. And also make sure you get the Funkin' Adventures of Dr. Kokenstein. Before we get out of here, I want you to give you the floor. Tell them where they need to go, what they need to do. Any shout-outs? It's all yours, Cocaine.
Oh, first of all, I want to give love to you, man. You've always been solid. And I appreciate you, you know, really being a pillar of the hip-hop community in general. And I want to thank my guy over there in France, Bojo. When I come out there, man, we just go beyond. Much love. And spread the funk out there, because we're doing some big things over here at Buddy Boy Entertainment. We bring it back to the business, and we bring it back to the music. And if anyone needs to contact me, you know, I'm not hard to find. I'll put you in contact with management, so that everything will be straight. I do plan to come over there soon, so I will be announcing that, to, you know, making my trip over there to overseas. It's going to be fun. Last time I was overseas, it was the only NWA tour was in 89 or 90. And I can't wait to get overseas. I appreciate everybody worldwide just really tapping into my site, www.buddyboymusic.com. And at the same time, I know you'll share it on your site. That's the most important. So people don't look for the full list albums on your Spotify and iTunes. But you can get the single. The single, I Beg Your Pardon, is available on all digital streaming platforms. So you can get that. But in order to get this album, you gotta come to my website, make an account so you can be a part of the subscription. And that way we can keep our folks and good people around the world updated on what's going on with Cocaine Brand and the Buddy Boy Brand as well. So we love y'all. We appreciate y'all, man. Let's get the funk out there. You know what I mean? And we're going to look back 7 months from now. We're going to be like, wow, yeah, the mothership is really landing. So I thank you, gentlemen, for helping us land this mothership.
It's always an honor, brother. You guys both take care, and you know what I'm saying? Also, shout out to Anisha Long for coming on the show for the first time. We definitely invited her back when the album drops. Love to chop it up with her again. We're going to get out of here, man. One more time, I beg your pardon. Legendary Cocaine.
Digging on your property is no game. Striking a buried utility line can knock out critical services, cause serious damage, harm your family or neighbors, even cost you your life. Don't play with your safety. Request utilities locate their underground lines for free by contacting JulieBeforeYouDig.com. Every project, every time. Dig safely and everyone wins.
JulieBeforeYouDig.com.
If you own your own business or plan to start one, you need a good general liability insurance policy.
General liability insurance protects your business from any risk or accident that may occur.
Insure your business with the perfect custom coverage that protects your growing interests.
Call Magnum Insurance for a free consultation.
Get better price
and better coverage.
Insure the future of your business with a general liability commercial package from Magnum Insurance.
MagnumInsurance.com.
Commercial insurance that works.